Glory to God. You know, if we don't take our authority and we just permit things, then it's on the body of Christ, and we need to stand up and resist the devil, as James 4:7 says. We've been touching on this theme of our spiritual authority. And last Wednesday on the stream here, we discussed dominion through our words. And tonight I want to just touch on the authority of the body. And I want to look at in the New Living Translation, Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 16 through 21. And you know, all that Jesus did, he said in 1 John, I came to destroy the works of the devil. And so all of these things, all of the transgression of Adam, and he lost the authority that God gave him. But thank God Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil and to restore all that was lost back to mankind. But starting in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, he said, when he came into the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. And picking up in verse 28, and reading verse 28 and 29 and 30, it says, when they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. Jumping up, they mobbed him, forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. They intended to push him over the cliff, but he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. That's not science fiction. He just, as you could say, he just disappeared and appeared somewhere else. Or he was translated out of their midst and went on his way. But he stirred up something, but he stated here in the scripture in verse 18 that he was anointed by the Holy Ghost, or of the Holy Ghost, to bring the good news of the gospel. And Jesus, or you could say it this way, if Jesus was there using his divine power, then why did he need to be anointed by the Holy Ghost? So Jesus entered this earth legally because he was born here. He was born of a virgin, and the blood of God flowed through his veins. If it wasn't, then the sin nature, if he was born of man and not of God, then the sin nature would have passed down through that conception. But this was what? This was an immaculate conception. He was born of a virgin. So he was sinless. He was the Son of Man, yet he was God manifested in the flesh. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19 bears this out in the New Living Translation. It says, for God was in Christ. So he was God, and God was in Christ. He was the Son of Man, but it goes on, it says, he was reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So Jesus stripped himself of that divine power, and he what? He became a man. He was God, but operated as a man, anointed by the Holy Ghost. So let's look at Philippians chapter 2 and verses 6, 7, and 8. This is in the New Living Translation. And these scriptures all support some things you may know and some things maybe you didn't know. But he came as God in Christ, manifested in the flesh, but Philippians 2, 6, it says, though he was God, see, there was no question, he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Verse 7, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, verse 8, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. So he came here as God, but he set aside his divine privileges. He operated as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. So the things that he did, when he said, when we go back, it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring the good news. And so this is what we're sharing, Acts 10:38 in the New Living Version. It says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Why? Because he was anointed of the Holy Ghost. He was anointed of God. So Jesus' purpose for coming to the earth is shared in 1 John 3:8. This is in the King James. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And of course, we know he did. So Jesus was the Son of God. He was deity in this earth, but he did not operate in what I would call divine power. He operated, he set it aside, and he was anointed by the Holy Ghost. He operated as a man. So he performed miracles, how? By the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that is available to you and me today. And we see that, let's read Romans chapter 11 in the New Living Translation. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We are anointed of God because he lives in us. 1 John 4:4 in the King James says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the greater one lives in us. His anointing is in us, and we can do the same miracles, the same mighty miracles that he did here in this earth. Now I want to continue on this subject of the authority of the body. And I want to look at John in the New Living Translation, John chapter 10, and verses 1 and 2 and 3, and we'll look at those. But Jesus always taught in parables. So we want to look at this in light of the authority that's been given to a man. And it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Now that may be a little, maybe not clear to you, but Jesus always spoke in parables. So what does the sheepfold represent when he says, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold and enters in some other way is a thief and a robber? The sheepfold is the earth. It represents the earth. We are the sheep of his pasture. And the door represents, so when he goes on and he said, but in verse 2, but the one who enters through the gate or the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So the door represents the legal entry into the sheepfold, or you could say the sheepfold or the earth. The legal entry into the earth is being born of a woman. So the legal entry into this earth is being born of a woman. So you can see from this parable, anyone who sneaks into the sheepfold any other way is a thief and a robber. Well, he's referring to the devil. He came in another way. He didn't come in through natural childbirth. So he is a thief and a robber. So any being that enters into the earth not being born of a woman but entering in some other way is a thief and a robber. He is a deceiver. He's talking about Satan. And now verse 3 of John 10, continuing in the New Living, it says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and does what? Leads them out. So this was the purpose of Jesus coming to the earth, to lead us out of what? Darkness into the kingdom of light. John 10:10. In the New Living, it says, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So the thief was not born here. He entered into this earth illegally for the purpose of what? Stealing and killing and destroying. So when you start in verse 1 of John 10 and you read down in the context of that, he ends up at verse 10 and John 10:10 and says, the thief. And then he said, he refers, the thief is what? His purpose is to come and to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give you a satisfying, rich and satisfying life. But he said, who is the thief? The thief is someone who enters into the sheepfold illegally, another way, sneaks in. And so, here, Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 6. I'm going to look at this in the King James and the New Living. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So he's giving two, he's not comparing, but he's saying that which is born of the flesh. So there is a natural birth into this earth, and then there's a spiritual birth. And he says that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And the New Living translation of this verse, it says, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So first we are what? Born of the flesh, and then we're born again, when we are when we are born again, we're born of the Spirit. So God delegated the first authority to Adam. And then what happened? He delegated, Adam did what? He disobeyed, and he what? He turned it over to Satan. And Satan entered this earth illegally. But Jesus has come that we may have life. He came to do what? Destroy the works of the devil and to restore to man his what? His rightful authority. And when we look at Ephesians 2 and verse 6 in the New Living Translation, it says, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are reunited with Christ Jesus." So Jesus obtained eternal redemption for us. And when it says in the King James, it says, "When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so when we accept him into our hearts, when we become born again, that causes us that which potentially was ours now becomes a reality. We are seated with him in a place of authority with him in Christ. And Jesus, when he talks about the gatekeeper opens the gate or the door, let's look at the New Living Translation in John 10:5, continuing in that chapter. Jesus refers to himself as the door. And he said in the New Living, starting in verse 5, it says, "They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice." Those who heard Jesus use this illustration, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant because he was speaking in parables. So he explained it to them. "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep." And I believe in the King James, it says, "I am the door." So he's now referring to himself as the door, the gate. And John, in the New Living, in John 10:2, again, referring back to that scripture in John 10:2 in the New Living, says, "But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." Now let's take a moment here. It says, "The one who enters through the gate," or through the door, "is the shepherd of the sheep." So Jesus is really referring here that he is talking about going before us to lead us out. So when he says the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd, well, Jesus is referred to as the one who was the firstborn from the dead. So when he paid for sin and sin was paid for, he was the first one born from the dead because he was made sin with our sins. And so he was the firstborn. So he's the first, or you could say the first, to enter through the door. And what? And it says, is the shepherd. Well, he is the shepherd of the sheep. And he was the first one to lead us. And it says all that Jesus did on the cross and bearing our sin was what? To destroy the devil, or what the devil has done, and lead us out of darkness. So the first gate, when we talk about, let's go back to verse 1 of John and look at verse 1 and 2. It actually refers to two gates here. So if you look at verse 1 of John 10:1, Jesus is speaking in the New Living. He said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate or the door must surely be a thief and a robber. So he's referring here to what? Natural birth. Anybody who was not born of a woman and comes into this earth illegally or some other way is a thief or a robber. But then verse 2, he said, but the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. Here, he's referring to being born of the Spirit. That's the gate of Jesus. He's the door. He said, I am the gate. Well, what are we really saying? There's no other way. There's no other way than the second door is the spiritual birth or being born again of the Spirit. Jesus is the way. He is the door. So this is borne out here in John 3:3 in the New Living Translation. This is Nicodemus 3:4-5. This is Nicodemus, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then verse 4, what do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into a mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and of the Spirit. And then we read verse 6 before, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So we are not going to get into heaven any other way except through the door, which is Jesus. He is the door of the sheep. He came to what? Restore the authority that mankind lost. He recaptured that from the devil. He said, I hold the keys of hell and death. All power and authority is mine. And so then we see that if we look at let's turn over. Let me look at that in Matthew, in Matthew 28, and this is the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 18. He's speaking to his disciples, and it says, and Jesus came, I'm reading from the King James, and it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Amen. So the purpose, what Jesus was referring to in John 10 and starting from verse 1 down, that we, if you are born in this earth and you are born of a woman, then you have legal authority in this earth. That's what Jesus said. You have a right, you have authority in this earth. But now that spiritual authority has been restored because we've gone through the gate, through the door of Jesus, and he has come by his Spirit to live in us, and he has restored that authority, and he's given us dominion. If you look at Mark 16, and you look at, again, the Great Commission, Mark 16, and starting in verse 15, and again, he's speaking to the 11, his disciples, and the King James, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Well, how can these signs follow Jesus said they do, but why? Because he's given us, he's conferred upon us authority. The Holy Spirit has come to live in us, and we are anointed of God to do that. And he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So we are authorized of God. We are anointed and appointed to go out and reach people, to share the good news of the gospel, teach them. And this is part of the vision God has given us, to reach and to teach and to send, to go out and to make disciples of people that believe in the gospel and accept Jesus, and then do what? To send them out as sheep into the pastures, into this sheepfold, which is the earth. It says, go into all the world. So we are to go into all this earth, anointed of the Holy Ghost, and then let's take a look at what we were looking at earlier, or referencing earlier, Matthew 18 and verse 18. And we can read that. Well, I'll read it from the New Living Translation. It says, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. And then verse 19, it says, continuing, it says, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. And then verse 20, for two or three, where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among you. So God is looking for us to operate in this authority, in this command that he's given us, and that we need not think of ourselves. I read something recently that I thought is a very good statement. He says, you can't feel authority. So a lot of times people don't think they have authority because of how they feel. And you don't feel authority. You just operate in it because it's been conferred upon you. It's been given you. And the devil, you know, the scripture says the scriptures say, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So anytime we feel or think fear thoughts or feel fear feelings, they didn't come from God. And whether we feel authority or not, he said, Jesus said, that we are to do what? Take authority, bind those things that he said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. This is Jesus speaking. So whether I feel something or think something's changing or not, we are to do what? Take authority over the rebel forces or the rebel authority, because the devil has taken authority over something that he didn't have a right. He's not legally in this earth. So he illegally took the authority. He deceived Adam. And so, or he deceived Eve, and Adam just missed it. But the point we're making is that this authority has been restored to the body of Christ. And a lot of times the body of Christ today, unless they're taught, unless you go through the scripture line upon line, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, that just means revelation, insight, light into that particular area is enlightened to to you. And if you're not satisfied with something, if you don't like what you see and you think it's ungodly, you need to take authority over it. So just as we were sharing all of the disruption and the turmoil and things that are going on, God is not against people. And so even when people start to say, well, look what Israel's doing, and then Israel's saying, look what all of the Hamas and everything is doing over there, and it's meant to divide people. And God is saying, look, take authority over the one that's behind it, that's motivating this tension, because anytime you get world organizations and you get large countries that are in conflict, it can draw other countries into that conflict, and it can end up escalating into something where people are killed, which they're already being killed and destroyed. That's not from God. And so you find that even people now, you find that Muslims are coming to Christ. And there, Jesus is appearing to them, and the vitriol and the hatred that they had for Israel, they're saying, I saw the light. I saw Jesus revealed himself to me. And all of a sudden, what? There's a heart change. And now they don't hate. They don't hate Israel. They love people because Jesus loves people. And so this is all we're really touching on tonight, is to walk in the authority that you have. And when you see things going on the college campuses, in the streets, and all of the disruption that's going on, take authority over it, because it's not God. And God will, in other words, when we do, it's not our power that's being used. It's the authority that God has given us, and he operates through the body, and we are authorizing him to work and release his power into that circumstance. So this is something that we just need to keep touching on as we you know, go forward. And faith comes by hearing, and the more we keep talking about the word, we remind ourselves, even myself, we remind me that the way, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So his way is the right way, and he gave us the tools and the way to address the issues that are going on. Is to take authority over these wicked spirits that are stirring up all of this turmoil that's going on. And so we just wanted to touch on that and remind us of who we are in Christ, and to walk in it and to embrace it and not be moved by the things that are going on, and not fear, but take authority over it in the name of Jesus. When the body of Christ, and I know, you know, even during this season, as we prepare and we get ready to elect and all of, you know, this election season, I guess, as you would call it, which again would elect another president over this United States, I'm telling you, people have all kinds of opinions, and people start sniping at one another because of what they think and their opinions. And you're entitled to your opinion. But let's look at the Bible, and it's meant to divide. If the church would be unified, not in the sense of voting, but you'd be unified to take authority over the devil and to stop motivating people to, you know, to be used, because that's really all it is. People are yielding to thoughts, and we need to do what? Take authority over that. Cast down every vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And that's all we're really saying. So thank you for listening, and take heart to the word of God that's been shared. and we operate from a place of victory. Father, we thank you for the word that's been spoken and shared. We believe it's seed for some planted and for some watering. But I believe, Father, that the hearers are stepping up and operating in the authority that we've been given, the rightful authority in Christ. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Satan, we bind you from operating in this area where we live. We command you to cease, and we release and command the angels that have been assigned to us in this area, go forth and push back the darkness so that the people can see clearly in the name of Jesus, and that the light would shine in to the hearts of people. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And before we stop this broadcast, we always give individuals an opportunity to get right with God, whether you've accepted him or whether you've turned away from him or you're not serving him. We always provide an opportunity, as we say, to get right with God. In other words, we have this wonderful message of reconciliation where we can appeal to you to be right with God, get right with him. So whatever your circumstance is, or whatever life circumstance, you know, judge yourself. And if you're not right, if you left your body this very moment, are you sure that you would go to heaven? And if you can, in your heart, say, yes, I would, okay, then you're right with God. But if you're not sure, and maybe you know, maybe you've been living in such a way where maybe you just have turned your back on God for whatever reason. But if you just say a simple prayer with us that you can be sure and get it resolved with him, you can be right with him. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth for me. And I believe that you loved me because your word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So I believe you love me, Father God, and I ask you to, and I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and I ask him to come into my heart. I believe that he was raised from the dead, and I believe he took my sins to hell. And when was paid for, sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead. And I ask Jesus to come into my heart. I repent of my sins. I believe now that I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and I am now right with you. And the scripture says that there is therefore no condemnation for those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so there is no condemnation to you. You are right with God. So if you've confessed that prayer and said that from your heart, then just get in touch with us either by email, or if you write to us or call us, 845-623-9300. We will send you some free information as to who you've become in Christ. Praise God. And we rejoice with you.